Well, it is good to be here today. I guess it's good to be anywhere after you drive from San Antonio to Del Rio, amen? though, it is a beautiful drive when you look at it through eyes of creation, isn't it? You think about the different landscapes, and I praise the Lord over the last 11 years, our family has literally seen this country. We've traveled all around the United States, I believe. We've been in almost all 50 states. Working and presenting the word and presenting the work and preaching, and then as well a few different foreign countries, and we're excited about it. I plan on telling you Sunday a little bit more about our ministry. Just briefly, I've been working with Rock of Ages Prison Ministry for 11 years this coming May, and working with the juveniles, the young people incarcerated in prisons around America mostly. There's 25% of our nation's teenagers are in some form of corrections today. Now, that's a sad statement for America, but worldwide, there's over 173 million teenagers, and many of them are hurting. Many of them are in trouble with the law, and the Lord's kind of broadened my horizon, and He's given me the world. I've claimed, Brother DeVinny, for years to have the largest youth department, 4 million troubled teenagers in America. But now the Lord just increased my youth department to 173 million. So by God's grace, we're going to do our best. Basically, what I'm saying is He's taken me now and given me an international view of our ministry, trying to work in different countries to reach teenagers that are in trouble, incarcerated, children's homes, as well as the adults and public schools in these different countries. But again, I was asked this Sunday, just to kind of preface my message tonight, Brother David Alcorn, a good young man there at Franklin Road Baptist Church, he asked me to teach his college and career class this Sunday, Resurrection Day. And boy, I'll tell you, I just love to preach. When you called me Brother DeVinny, I about shouted out of the... I love it. I just love to come and preach. Now, I spend most of my time preaching to guys locked up, so I might get a little rough. Is that all right tonight? Good. I'm glad to hear y'all got a shout, because that's like saying sick 'em to a bulldog when you say that to a preacher. So I hope you'll keep your shout happy tonight. And it's a shouting type message. I'm not this kind of a preacher most generally. I'm not one that'll get up and do this kind of a message. But I'll tell you, when Brother David asked me to preach his Sunday school class, I don't really know the difference between teaching and preaching. I haven't figured that out yet. I've been asked to teach, and I don't know whether it's a preach or a teach, but when he asked me to teach, the guy next door said, "Man, you were getting it this morning." So I guess I was preaching. I don't know. But the Lord spoke to my heart, and He said, "This is what I want you to kick this Wednesday off with." I had other plans. I'd been praying and asking the Lord for direction for this conference. I'm excited about this conference. I'm excited about the word light. Amen. The light, that's just another name for the Lord Jesus Christ to me. It's the light. There's so many different names in there. But when I began early Sunday morning to just compile these thoughts that the Lord gave me, I was excited. And I had a great time on Resurrection Sunday. I hope you all did you? Amen. So it's going to be a little bit different of a message as far as a kickoff on a mission conference. I'll be honest with you, this is only the second mission conference I've ever preached. Most of the time, I'm preaching in a bunch of knuckleheads locked up behind prison. We just had our Alabama crusade. About 200 volunteers made their way to Montgomery, Alabama. There was 10 different prisons. I believe somewhere around 6,200 inmates that we ministered to had right around 321 come to know the Lord as their Savior. And we just had a great time. And I preached a message from a maniac to a missionary. And I preached out of Mark chapter 5, and I just had a blast. I'm telling you, we had 5 saved in the lockdown unit at a juvenile detention center, and it just thrilled my soul. But tonight, I just want to preach on our Savior a little bit tonight. That'd be okay? Be all right? Honestly, if we don't have the right relationship, and if we don't even have the right perspective of the Lord Jesus Christ, then the mission conference on especially Thursday and Friday night will drop off. It is the least attended services of all the services annually in an independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist church as a mission conference. Not a whole lot of shout to say there. But it's the fact. People don't come back to that Thursday and Friday night and Saturday night mission conference. It's the time when not the preacher and not the missionary, but it is the Holy Ghost that's pricking your heart to possibly go a little bit further than you are right now. And it's not that we desire a gift. You know what the Apostle Paul said. It's that we desire fruit for your account. So tonight, if you'll let me, we're going to bring a message on the fact of who is he to you. Amen? I'm not much on this homiletics and the hermeneutics and all that happy stuff. And I don't have 3 points in a poem, so I'm just going to rear back and let her go. Amen? Is that all right tonight? So let's do it this way. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to seek the Lord tonight. Father, I love you this evening. Father, what an awesome privilege it is, Lord, to be saved and to know that even right now, Lord, as I kneel before you, I am in your presence. To me, Lord, that thrills my heart. And I hope, Father, tonight that Victory Baptist Church in Del Rio, Lord, would get close to you. And then, Father, that while they're so close, Lord, they would begin to ask you what you would have them do. And, Lord, there may be some in here that you're calling to the field. There's no doubt in my mind, Father, the laborers are few. It's estimated, Father, and I know you know this, that there are only close to 5,000 missionaries in the independent fundamental ranks. Lord, many of them will begin the deputation trail and take 4 to 5 years just to raise the funds to go to their field. Many of them, Lord, will get discouraged in the way and drop off, Father. The need is so great. Will you help, Lord, me? Start with me tonight, Lord. And then, Father, help the dear church and this dear pastor and their family. We want to praise you and thank you tonight for your goodness in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to take you to an unusual verse for a mission conference again. But John 14, would you please turn there with me tonight? John chapter 14. I write little daily devotions. It started out with sending just a quick little thought to my son. Sorry, brother, he's at Golden State. Amen. Golden State, Lancaster, there's a little bit of... He played on the basketball team there for a while when they had one. I don't know, remember Josh Van Horn. He didn't play a whole lot, but... He's a blessing. But I started sending little thoughts to my son. Nothing long, just something that can be read in 2 or 3 minutes. And boy, it just seemed to grow from there. I know so many people all over America. Matter of fact, I know people all over the world. And I got to thinking, man, this would help our juvenile team. At the time, there was about 20 of them on our team. And I started sending them to our juvenile team. And then a youth pastor here or a youth pastor there. And I began to just make mention of it in different places. And, well, next thing I know, I'm sending them out to 200-plus people. And people are forwarding them on. And I'm thinking, Lord, thank you for the privilege to do this. But on Resurrection Sunday, I sat down early again as I was preparing for this message. And the Lord directed me to John chapter 14. I want you to listen with me tonight in John 14, 1 through 3. Jesus, our Savior, says this, "Let not your heart be troubled." Ladies and gentlemen, tonight I'd just like to take that little thought just for a second. Just for a second and let you know that the Lord doesn't want us troubled. Well, I was coming home. I was coming home from Mexico. The Lord's allowed us to make a survey trip here a few weeks back. Went down to Mexicali. I met with a preacher, Brother Bob Walker, over in Tijuana. And then Gutierrez, Pastor Gutierrez, over in Mexicali. And I began to share with them how our ministry wants to partner with their church and to teach them and to train them to go into the local prisons and the jails and the public schools. And as I met with those guys, it was just such a great blessing to see how the Lord is working in that country, and how the Lord has a desire to open the doors into that country. And I was just thrilled with that. But I want you to see, as I was coming home from that flight, I was in the airport, and nothing worse than your last connecting flight being delayed for 3 hours. Nothing worse. Well, I was in, they took me all the way from Mexico, or I guess I flew out of San Diego, took me to Cincinnati, Ohio, to get me back to Tennessee. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense, But I'm sitting in the Cincinnati airport, and my flight's delayed for 3 hours. Well, I'm sitting over here. Now, this is crazy. There's only two outlets in the whole gate. There's three gates at the end of this airport, and two outlets to plug your phone or your computer in. Well, I found a spot over here, and I'm sitting there with my computer plugged in, and somebody made mention the fact that the plane was going to be delayed for 2 hours to Louisville, and I was at a different gate, and a guy popped his head up and said, 2 hours? What do you mean 2 hours? I got to get home. And man, he went straight to the gate and started fussing at the guy at the counter. And he says, well, now what do I do? And the guy at the counter says, well, you got to go over here and check this out and to this next gate and to find out when the next flight is. And he stomps all the way over there to find out when his next flight was going to be ready. Well, here's the problem. Is his flight was still boarding. He was going to Baltimore. It was still boarding. And while he's fussing about the delay to Louisville, and he's walking all the way over there because he's mad, they're closing the little door, and the plane's backing out, and that's the last flight to Baltimore for the day. And he's stuck there all night. Oh, my soul, that guy stomped all over that airport, yelling and fussing, and I'm just being me, and I'm walking down the corridor. Honestly, it's just about dead. And the guy comes stomping back. He had changed from his suit. He's now into his comfortable clothes. That's what I call them. That's what we flew in today, blue jeans and a little shirt. And I won't tell you that Brother Troy never shaved until we ate lunch. I wouldn't tell you that. I'm just kidding, brother. We're good friends. At least we were. Anyhow, I'm walking down there, and this guy comes stomping back. And I said, were you able to get yourself a room, sir? And he got about three steps past me, and he looked back and said, no. And I said, well, okay. And I walked up and sat down in one of those massage chairs, and I kind of kicked back, put my suitcase down, put my feet up. In about 4 or 5 minutes, Brother DeVinny, he come walking back and threw his suitcase down and started just unloading on me, telling me how they did this and they did that. And he did admit that he'd fallen asleep. Now, I fell asleep. So that was the whole problem to begin. Fell asleep. Boy, he was just a fussing and a carrying on. And I said, sir, I said, let me explain something to you if you don't mind. And he just kind of listened. And I, for some reason, and we have CDs here, and this is just the way the Lord's directing me tonight. I said, let me tell you a story about a real pretty little girl when she was 15 years old. I said, this girl's name's Paula Van Horn. It used to be Paula Winter. She's my wife. When she was 15 years old, she was on her way to a high school basketball game two blocks away from her home. And it was a cold January night in a little town called Andale, Kansas. And as she made her way to that basketball game, a man had a different plan for her that night. Real cold and snowy, and the conditions were really rough. But this guy made his way up behind her with a knife and put a knife to her throat and forced her into a car, took her out to the country, and for the sake of the children, abused her in a horrible way. And then after he was done, he took a knife and shoved it into her throat and left her to die alongside a highway. And I'm telling this guy all this stuff, and I said, sir, I said, but let me help you to understand this. I said, little did we know that 15 years later, God would put us into a prison ministry. And we would be able to take the truth of the Scriptures about biblical forgiveness and the truth of the Scriptures about bitterness and anger and malice and the truth of the fact that when you allow God to be God, And when you understand that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them are called according to His purpose, I said, sir, I said, we took that horrible tragedy, and instead of using it to destroy our lives, we've been slapping the devil up alongside the head with it for 11 years. And I said, I just want to let you know that I'm not real sure why you missed your plane. I said, I've got a pretty good idea. I said, I think you needed to hear this tonight. And I should have told the sorry buzzard, if he'd just get his heart right with God, I wouldn't have had to miss my plane either. But I said, I believe you missed your plane so that we could have this appointment. And I reached into my pocket, as my manner is, and I took out a gospel tract, and I said, I'd like you to read this. And he said, you know what? He says, I don't need that. He said, I'm a born-again Christian. He said, I just have a bad temper. He said, I think I'll go get my room tonight. He was going to sleep there at the airport. I said all that to say this. Jesus said
there's no sense in letting your heart be troubled. There is no reason to get your heart all worked up to where you have anger and bitterness and malice and wrath and hatred towards somebody or something, and allow your testimony to be flushed down the drain when the Lord Jesus Christ says, "Let not your heart be troubled." I like what he goes on to say. He says, "You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." Isn't that something now? He would have told us. He would have said, "Now look, you might get an apartment down the road in Del Rio." But no. He said, "Man, I got a mansion in glory for you. And I promise, if I go," and he says, "I'm going. I'm going to come back and I'm going to get you." Hey, let not your heart be troubled tonight. You say, "Brother, I don't know what I can do for missions." Hey, don't let your heart be troubled. Let the Holy Spirit guide you. And He will. And then He'll provide for you. And I got to thinking, he went on to say, "And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." I wrote this little note. I said, what a blessed promise we have from the Lord. On this resurrection day, of course, this was Sunday. On this resurrection day, this promise is real to my eyes, I wrote. There's no doubt in my mind that the Lord does not want us to have troubled hearts. I don't think He does. I think He wants us to have peace in our hearts. There's no doubt in my mind. I went on to say, if we can look at life through the eyes of Jesus in our daily circumstances, we can glory in Him. Amen. Paul said this. He said in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, he said, "My strength is sufficient." Amen. Let me go there. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, or is it 2nd? Chapter number 12, verse 9. I want to get this right. And he said unto me, there it is, "My grace is sufficient for thee." Christ said, "My grace is sufficient for thee." He said, "My strength is made perfect in weakness." Christ said, "When you get weak, I get strong." And then Paul went on to say, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." And we can have the power of Christ resting upon us when we look through His eyes. I went on to write this. I put, "I do not think that Christ saw the guilt." I want you to think about this as He went to the cross. I don't think He saw the guilt, the pain, the lies, the suffering, or even the crucifixion as something dreadful. But I believe He saw it as a way for billions upon billions of people to spend eternity in glory with Him. Amen? I think about this. Just like Christ rose from the dead, He can give us life. And we need to try to raise from our circumstances to give God the glory. Who can tell? Who can tell what the Christian attitude, how your Christian attitude could affect somebody tonight? Well, I want you to turn with me this evening. Now, over to the book of Ephesians. Who is he to you? Ephesians chapter number 2. Some said he was a prophet. Some said he's just a good man. A lot of cults out there that call him just a good man. Some call him the King of Jews, but Peter said, "Thou art the Christ." Amen? What is he to you? Now, I want you to look in Ephesians chapter 2. And I use this verse all the time in these verses in verse number 8 when I'm witnessing to somebody. The Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith." Thank God. Aren't you glad we have the truth tonight, ladies and gentlemen? Aren't you glad that we don't have to get on our hands and knees and crawl to Mecca and bow down four times a day? Hey, can I? You know what? I forget who was telling me this, but in New York City, they just visited New York City. And right around noontime, there's usually cabbies flying up and down there all over the place. But they said it's almost impossible, Brother Troy, to get a cab at noon in New York City. Most of the cabbies are Muslims. And they all pull their old cabs over and bow down towards Mecca and say their false prayers that's going to get them nowhere closer to heaven than that old lizard we saw alongside the road today. They're false prayers. It's crazy. But I'm glad tonight that the Bible says that by grace we're saved through faith. And that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And then he goes on to say, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Now listen to what he goes on to say. Wherefore, remember. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight, would you just for a while this week remember what you were and where you were headed before someone shared with you the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ and His saving grace? Could I get you tonight to just think about that person that you work with or that you see at the store or at McDonald's or at the bank or wherever you go? Would you just begin to look at them through the eyes of Jesus Christ and understand that they too have an eternal soul that will die somewhere or sometime and spend eternity somewhere tonight? Our mission project needs to start in Del Rio. If we're not missionaries in Del Rio, that mission board won't mean anything to you. How many public school kids do we have here today? Anybody going to public schools? We got some public school. Man, I'll tell you, you've got a mission field that I can't go to. You see this little book right here? It's a New Testament. On the inside cover, it has your legal rights as a United States American student to pass out gospel tracts on the public school grounds. Y'all know you can do that? You know, the ACLU will tell you it's illegal. And we're running around scared thinking we can't do something because the ACLU is barking down your... Hey, it is perfectly legal for a student inside a public school to pass out a gospel tract, to hand somebody a Bible, to read their Bible, to carry their Bible, to pray, as long as they're doing it before class, after class, or at lunchtime, not during instructional time. You know, you got a mission field. All you have to do is take these little gospel tracts in your pocket and say, why don't you come on down to Victory Baptist Church? Man, it's going on down there. And how about getting a real lively youth department, amen? As a place where these kids that are looking for a refuge can come and find love and happiness instead of the gangs where there's no hope. A mission field. If we would begin to witness to our folks right around here. Remember who you were. And verse number 12, the Bible says that at the time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant of the promise, having no hope and without the God in the world. Brother Troy is getting ready to go to Belize. And it's English-speaking people in Belize. Is that not right? And it would be easy for an English-speaking missionary to get into his little airplane. Can fly to Belize for about the price of a ticket to Miami, right? And can go down there into a bunch of English-speaking people and start a church and have a church and begin to win the English-speaking people to Christ. But I'm thankful that he's seeing a world through the eyes of Jesus. And folks, I just know, Brother Troy, I don't know you folks, and I know you're all going somewhere too. But instead, he says is it Mayans? Is that right? There's Mayan Indians up on the hills in Belize. And as far as you know, nobody's going to them. An entire people group. If nobody's going to them, there's no doubt they don't have a translation. I can see, Miss Susanna and Brother Troy, I can see you guys getting the John and Romans translated into the Mayan language. I can see it because I serve a big God. I can see a young man and a young lady that's willing to take their family to the mission field and not just go and settle in, but to look up into the hills from whence cometh our hope, amen, and say, Lord, give me those people. God will give you those people, amen. God will give them to him. They have no hope. I think about these kids that I go to. I go to the prisons. Honestly, I've been going to juveniles all around this country in America for the first 10 years of my ministry, and now all over the world. It's exciting. But you know how many times I've told that story, the old story of the cross of Calvary, to teenagers that do not even know anything about it? We just preached in that lockdown unit. One guy got to preaching about creation. He said, I never heard that before. Well, it's right in the Bible. But we've kicked the Bible out of our public schools.
It's what we've done.
There's a world of people that need Christ. Well, we just need to remember. But now in Christ Jesus, verse 13, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For He is our peace. Amen. I don't know what Christ is to you tonight, but He's my peace. Somewhere around, I guess it was 3 o'clock, the old alarm clock went off this morning. And Mama had rolled out of bed about 15 minutes earlier. Amen. That's my beautiful wife right there. I just found out it was 27 years. I was thinking it was 28. But we've been married 27 years this coming April 16th. And somewhere around 3 o'clock, we rolled out and began to get ready. Got to the airport by 4:30. Was on an airplane at 5:30 and flew to Atlanta and then to Del Rio or to San Antonio and then drove. And you know what? I'm having the time of my life. Tonight, when I get back to that room, I'm going to put my head down on my pillow, and I'm going to go to sleep in sweet peace. Young people, I hope you consider serving the Lord with all your heart. I hope you can find yourself right in the middle of the will of God. I hope you can do that. I was talking to Sergeant Culbertson over at the base, and he was saying, man, did I say that wrong? No, I said it right. I usually get names all messed up. And he's saying, man, he says, there's nothing like being where God wants you. And when you're right smack dab in the middle of God's will, hey, especially when you're on the job and you love what you're doing and you know God's placed you there, you remember that, missionaries, get you a verse. You better make sure you have a scripture that God has given you that you know without a shadow of a doubt that God's called you to that field. So when that sorry old stinking devil rears up his ugly head and says, what in the world are you doing here? You can run back to the scriptures and say, God, use this verse to call me. Now get out of here, you old slew foot. Nothing like being in the middle of God's will, is there? Doesn't matter whether you're in Iraq with some Humvee and some sorry buzzard sniper shooting at you, when God's got the door shut, glory to God. What a testimony to the grace of God. Nothing like it. Nothing like it. Well, I'm just trying to get somewhere tonight and y'all won't let me. Verse 15. Having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of the commandments or contained in the ordinances, for to make Himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Y'all don't mind I'm reading a bunch of scripture, do you? I hope not, because I love this Bible. Verse 17, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through Him we both have access. Hallelujah. Through Him we have access to God. And He says that we can come boldly before the throne. Do you all realize this? This is who Christ is to me. Do you realize when you kneel and pray that you are literally in the presence of Almighty God because of Him? Don't let this independent, fundamental Baptist church become religion to you, please. If it becomes religion to you, you'll continue giving your nickels and dimes to the faith promise. You'll be lucky if you get your 10% in, and you'll think you're doing God a favor by tithing when He's just testing you with what He gave you to give back. Amen, Brother Van Horn. Hallelujah. Well, man, He's awesome. He's allowed us to go right straight to Him. All right. And are built upon the foundations of the apostles and the prophets. Jesus Christ Himself, verse 20, being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto the holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Now I want you to listen to what Isaiah has to say. Isaiah says this, and all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. Hey, moms and dads, I promise you, your children already know what you think Jesus is. Is Jesus the Christ? Or is he the King of the Jews? Or is he a prophet? Or is he just a good man? Or is he your ticket to the throne room? Is he your Savior and your Almighty God? Are you simply a servant to the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory? And does your light so shine that your children can say, Daddy, why are you always praying? You want to know why there's 4 million teenagers in America in trouble with the law? There's no daddy in the home. And when they are in the home, they're too busy watching Monday night football instead of having devotion time with the children. Right. Amen, Brother Van Horn. Hallelujah, that's good preaching. I didn't come to hurt you tonight, I promise you. But if we can see Jesus in this light, mission conference will be an exciting time. Man, it's an exciting... I love sending my letters out. And I love sending reports about how many souls have been saved and what God is doing in our ministry and how He's allowing us to see people's lives change. It thrills my heart. Man, I stopped off on the way to Alabama to that crusade we had, and a preacher friend of mine's son is a principal at a high school, a public high school in Mississippi, Smithville, Mississippi. Brother Chad says, hey, Brother Van Horn, you want to come preach to our kids today? I said, well, man, yeah, what are you talking about? I'll do it. About 200 to 250 kids filled the entire visitor side of their gymnasium. And he said, you got about a half an hour. He said, this is the FCA, the Fellowship Christian Athletes. He said, they're here voluntarily. He said, have at it, man. So I opened up my book and preached, you guessed it, from a maniac to a missionary. 12 kids saved in a public school. My God can do these things, amen? He's powerful and He's mighty. But these children don't even know who God is. You got to make Christ real to your kids. You have to. All right. Isaiah 48:18 says this. Oh, that thou hast hearkened to my commandments. God just says, oh, I wish you would have listened. Then had the peace been as a river and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. Thy seed also had been as the sand and thy offspring of the boughs like the gravel thereof. His name should not have been cut off nor destroyed from before me. Go ye therefore of Babylon, flee from the Chaldeans with a voice of singing. Declare ye, tell this, utter it even to the ends of the earth, even to those Mayan Indians, brother. Tell them, the Lord hath redeemed his servant Jacob. And they thirsted not when he led them through the deserts. He caused the waters to flow out of the rock. He clave the rock also, and the waters gushed out. There is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. You better tell your kids that there's peace in God. They better see peace in your family. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. That even means in a time of money crunch. How about that? I have a hard time with that economic word. Even in the times when our economical system is crashing, God says, let not your heart be troubled. All right. Philippians 4 and 7, and the God of peace with pathos, all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. My favorite verse, I use it all the time. Great peace have they that love the which love thy law. Psalm 119, 165, and nothing shall offend them. And then I want you to see what he says in Philippians 4:9. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight starts our mission conference, and we have an opportunity to serve God. I'm reminded of a great illustration on opportunity. Back right after World War II, a general and a young captain climbed onto a train over, I believe it was in England. And as they climbed onto the train and boarded the train, it was a passenger train. There were only two seats left back in those days. A bench sat this way and a bench sat that way, and you faced each other. And they sat down, and there was a beautiful young lady, and there was also an older lady, which was obviously this young lady's grandma, a very young captain and the general. And they're all sitting in that little booth. They said their hellos, and the plane left off, and it began to take off. And as that plane left, or as that train began to go down the tracks, it entered into a very, very long and dark tunnel. And just as soon as it got real dark, you heard the very, very distinct sound. Two sounds. The first sound was the sound of a kiss. And the second sound was the sound of a smack. And as that train left that tunnel, there sat four people, and only one knew exactly what happened. Well, that little girl began to think, my, I can't believe that handsome young captain had the nerve to kiss me. But she thought, I sure wish Granny hadn't slapped him like that. And Granny's sitting there thinking, wow, the nerve of that young man to kiss that beautiful young granddaughter of mine. But I sure am glad she had the gumption to slap that sorry buzzard. Now the general himself was sitting there thinking, well, I'm mighty proud of this young fella. I think he's going to make a good soldier. But why in the world did she slap me? And that young, bright captain sitting there thinking, man, I saw the opportunity to kiss a pretty girl and slap the general at the same time. Hallelujah. We have an opportunity to serve God. And it's a wonderful thing. I have a great time, man. I enjoy life. I have fun serving the Lord. And something my wife gets tired of my old corny jokes, and my kids get tired of my corny jokes, and even Franklin Road Christian School gets tired of my corny jokes. Of course, most of the kids there just don't get them. I told one to Sarah, and it was funny. I told her at our house about 3 weeks later, and then I told the same joke at our Christian school, and a little girl that my daughter runs with, I told the joke in the Christian school, and all of a sudden she started laughing. And Jessica said, you just got that joke, didn't you? She said, yeah, I just got it. But tonight in closing, I want to give you something tonight. Has anybody ever heard of an old black preacher by the name of S.M. Lockridge? Anybody heard of old S.M. Lockridge? Well, I want you to do a Google search on your little internet, and I want you to go and type in S.M. Lockridge, that's my king. Just type in those words, that's my king. S.M. Lockridge, Lockridge. And it'll bring up a little YouTube of about a 7 minute of preaching message of S.M. Lockridge preaching, that's my king. Now, to the best of my ability tonight, I want to just kind of try and give it to you. And then you can go tonight and listen to the real thing. But I want you to hear just what the King of Kings is to this old black preacher. We were at that Alabama crusade, and I'll never forget old Brother Stewart, Gary Stewart, got up and was preaching, and we just had this kind of a little camp meeting thing going on in the morning before we went to the prison, and he got up and preached Savior and took an acrostic with the words or the letters in Savior. And when he got to the O in Savior, he said, he's my oscillator. And he said, y'all want to know what an oscillator is? He says, well, back home, I got me one of those little fans. And you turn that thing on, and it goes like this. And then it goes like that. And it's just blowing wind all over me. He says, my Savior will really get you moving if you let him. Amen. He just had a good time. For about 7 minutes, he preached on Jesus, and about 160 volunteers that love the Lord that have just witnessed a couple hundred people getting saved. Buddy, we were shouting the house down, amen? But I want you to listen tonight what Dr. S.M. Lockridge had to say about his king. Oh, you just got to hear him, amen? Well, he started out and said, my king was born king. The Bible says, he's a seven-way king. He's the king of the Jews. That's a racial king. He's the king of Israel. That's a national king. He's the king of righteousness. He's the king of the ages. He's the king of heaven. He's the king of glory. He's the king of kings, and he is the Lord of lords. Now that's my king. You got to hear him say it, amen? Well, he said, I might get just a little bit cranked up while I'm doing this because everything that he says here, my king is to me. He goes on to say, well, I wonder if you know him. Can I tell you tonight, it's easy to know if you know him. If you know him, you're concerned about what he thinks of you. I wonder what he'll catch you doing if he was to come to the house tonight. Well, he said, I wonder if you know him. Do you know him? Don't try to mislead me. Do you know my king? David said, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament show his handiwork. My King is the only one whom there are no means of measure that can define His limitless love. No far-seeing telescope can bring into visibility the coastline of His shore of supplies. And I said hallelujah to that, missionary. Amen and amen. No barriers can hinder Him from pouring out His blessings. He goes on, well, if you ever hear Him say that, well, He goes on to say, He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally gracefully. He's imperfectly powerful. He's impartially merciful. That's my King. He said He's God's Son. He's the sinner's Savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He stands alone in Himself. He's august. He's unique. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He's supreme. He's preeminent. Well, He said, He's the highest personality in philosophy. Somebody ought to start getting happy about right now. He's the supreme problem in high criticism. He's the fundamental doctrine of proved theology. He's the carnal necessity of spiritual religion. That's my King. He said He's the miracle of the age. He's the superlative of everything good that you can choose to call Him. Well, He said, He's the only one able to supply all our needs simultaneously. Amen. Not just yours, but He's going to get mine on the way through. Hallelujah. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and tried. He sympathizes and saves. He's a strong God and He guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the leper. He forgives the sinner. Discharges debtors. He delivers the captives. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. Hallelujah. I'm glad I got a God that's after the underdog. Amen. Hey, He regards the aged. He's a reward, and He rewards the diligent, and He beautifies the meek. He said, do you know Him? Well, He was getting excited about now, and He said, my King is the key of knowledge. He's the wellspring of wisdom. He's the doorway of deliverance. He's the pathway of peace, the roadway of righteousness. He's the highway of holiness. He's the gateway of glory. He's the master of the mighty. He's the captain of the conquerors, the head of the heroes, the leader of the legislator. He's the overseers of the overcomer. He's the governor of governors. He's the Prince of Princes, He's the King of Kings, and He's the Lord of Lords. That's my King. And He kicked in a couple of, right about there, amen, that's my King. He said, my King, yeah, His office is manifold, His promise is sure, His light is matchless, His goodness is limitless, His mercy is everlasting, His love never changes, His word is enough. Say amen right there. His word's all I need. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteousness. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. He says, well, I wish I could describe Him to you. But He said He's indescribable. He's indescribable. I'm not even touching it. And neither is He. You realize the Bible says that there's not enough books in the world that contain everything about our King. And we're just touching on it here for about 6 or 7 minutes. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. Amen. And I'm not talking about that tip throw to the tulip junk either. I'm not talking about that Calvinism. Hey, you have a choice. And you'll call on God when the Holy Ghost of God comes by, or you'll deny Him. Amen. I'm coming to tell you, the heavens of heaven cannot contain Him, let alone a man explaining Him. You can't get Him out of your mind, and you can't get Him off of your hands. You can't outlive Him, and you can't live without Him. He said, well, the Pharisees couldn't stand Him, but they found out they couldn't stop Him. Amen. Pilate couldn't find any fault in Him. The witnesses couldn't get their testimonies to agree. Herod couldn't kill Him. Death couldn't handle Him, and the grave couldn't hold Him. Amen. That's my King. Yeah, He went on. You got to hear Him say that. He always has been, and He always will be. I'm talking about He had no predecessor, and He'll have no successor. Amen. There was nobody before Him, and there's nobody after Him. Hey, how about this one? You can't impeach Him, and He's not going to resign. Hallelujah. Well, He said, that's my King. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory and the power all belongs to my King. We're around here talking about black power and white power and green power, but it's God's power. Amen. Thine is the power and the glory. We try to get prestige and honor and glory for ourselves, but the glory is all His. Yes, He said, thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever and ever. How long is that? And ever and ever and ever? And when you get through all of the forevers, and then amen. And that doesn't even touch him. Doesn't even begin to describe who the King of the Kings and the Lord of Glory is to me. I love the Lord Jesus so much. And I want the world to know. Brother DeVinny, I was coasting right along. I don't mean coasting, doing nothing. I was enjoying just working in the United States, going to these teenagers. But God took the scriptures, young missionaries, and he gave me a verse in Acts chapter 2, or Psalms chapter 2 and verse 8. And he said that he will give me the heathen for mine inheritance. Ask of me, and I'll give thee the heathen for thine inheritance and the uttermost parts of the world for thy possession. And I asked the Lord to give me the youth of the world. And that's exactly what he's doing. And because I love him, and because he's everything to me, he's taking care of my needs. I'm getting ready to mount a plane on the 23rd of this month. I'm going to leave here, Brother DeVinny, go up to Ohio, preach another mission conference, come home for 3 days, get on an airplane, and fly to the Philippines for about 17 days. And right now, I don't even really know how I'm going to get to the Philippines and back financially. But my King knows, because he's called me there. It's his business. And when it's his business, he'll make the way. Don't let the devil discourage you. Missionaries are falling out left and right. They're not making it through the deputation process. That old devil will beat you down. But you ought to get a copy of S.M. Lockridge preaching. I got me a copy in the truck, amen. Every once in a while, I'll dig that thing out and I'll just listen to it. I'll go down the road and I'll just get a little charismaniac, amen. I am just a little bit crazy. My dad has a life verse for me. It's Matthew 17:15. Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic. Amen. But I just love the Lord. And when you fall in love with him and let him give you peace, he's not concerned about what you give. He's concerned more about what you keep. It was said, and I hope to get this right, 3 seconds after a man died, the angel asked him, what do you think since you've been here for 3 minutes? He says, well, he says, what I've spent, I've lost. He said, what I've saved, I've left. But he says, what I gave, I have. What are we going to do for Christ this week? Whatever you do, it'll far outweigh anything that you can imagine that this earth and this world has to offer. You know, tonight, I hope you know him as Savior. I hope you know him not just as the King of the Jews. And I hope you just don't know him as the person of the Bible or the object of the Baptist religion. I hope there's been a time in your life. We talked to Miss Carolyn down at the restaurant, and we told her we were preachers. She said, where do you go, church? We said, Franklin Road Baptist Church. Remember what she said, Brother Troy? I knew you all Baptists. Amen. I said, Miss Carolyn, when'd you get saved? She took us way back to when she was a little girl. She remembered the time. I'm not talking about the date or the hour. I wish I knew. I don't remember the exact date or time. When I lead somebody to the Lord, I tell them the date and time because I wish I knew. But I know that there was a time in my life when I called on the Lord Jesus Christ as a young boy. And I realized I was a sinner, lost and on my way to hell. And unlike the easy believism gospel, I invited the Lord Jesus Christ to come into my life to take control. I wanted to make some changes. I wanted to live for him. And when I called on Christ, he gave me the free gift of eternal life. And I'm so glad today that I don't have to wonder or worry whether I'm going to heaven. I'm so glad because of that King that S.M. Lockridge tried to describe. And that I've tried my best tonight to just help you to see. I hope that you have him as your own personal King. I'd hate to go into this world whether it's the workplace, teenagers, whether it's the public school, without Christ. Because that public school will swallow you up, chew you up, and spit you out and not care a bit about you. But if you go with Jesus, He'll give you hope and promises. If you're not saved today, would you give your life to Christ? Father, tonight, we love You. We thank You so much for this opportunity to be here. Thank You for Pastor Devinny's sensitivity to the Spirit of God. And Lord, as they've prayed and as the church has prayed and given, Father, so this conference could be possible, I'm asking You, Lord, to do great things. Not just in the financial way, Lord, although You know missionaries need money. But Lord, I'm talking in the hearts of the people. Maybe people would begin to carry gospel tracts everywhere they go and become missionaries to Del Rio. And then, Lord, as it started with me, just telling people everywhere I went about the Lord, my brother asked me to leave the job site, to not tell people on the jobs anymore about You, Lord. And I did. We just parted ways, Father. But then You gave me a bigger field. And now, Lord, You've even enlarged my coast even greater, and You've given me more responsibility. I'm praying, Father, that maybe someone in this room will just throw up their hands and surrender and say, Lord, I don't know where and I don't know how, but if You'll use me, I'll go and I'll do whatever You want me to do. Father, have Your way in the invitation tonight. If there is one lost, please see that they're saved in Jesus' name. Amen.